Okay, so let's move on to that Tottenham game the following season in the Youth Cup, and you played very well. And were you hopeful that something might possibly happen with Spurs?
Well, I think I did play very well that day, and scored the winner. And there was rumours. Neil Warnock said that Tottenham were, you know, going to look at me for a couple of games or whatever. But obviously nothing materialised. But I've always been a pretty grounded kind of person, really, and never, you know, you always don't get, when you're driving out on your own or you daydream and you think, oh, what if, you know, it'd be fantastic. But I was never, you know, going around telling people I was going to Tottenham and all this type of thing, because I've always been, until it happens, you know, it can backfire on you massively, and that one certainly would have if I'd gone around spouting off, so no, nothing ever come of it.
But later, only a little later in your career, I mean, there must have been a very serious chance you going to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, I think there was a good chance. I went up there on trial and done well. And at the time, David Pleat was buying English, young English players, and I felt I was in with a shout. I came back, played a few first team games for Plymouth, and something happened on deadline day that whether they put an offer in or it might have not been enough, I don't know, but. I mean, things work out for their own reasons. I mean, if I'd gone there, I wouldn't have achieved what I've achieved now. So I've never been a bitter person or anything. And there's obviously something in my game at that stage of my career that I wasn't good enough to play in the Premier League. And I mean, obviously they've been proved right. So, you know, that's just football and that's just life.
Well, you say that, though. I mean, have you completely given up in the hope of playing in the top flight? I mean, it may even happen here.
Never say never, but... it's a different world. The Premier League's a different world. It may well happen with Plymouth in a few years. Who knows? If it does, then, you know, that will be a dream come true. At the moment, the Championship's the next best thing, and I'm playing regularly in that, so I'll take this at the moment, but never stop dreaming. If you give up on your dreams, then, you know, what's the point?
And you've got the chance coming up early next year to test yourselves against Everton.
Yeah, it's good. Looking forward to it. I mean, the whole city, should I say, is talking about it. And I mean, it's obviously guaranteed to be a sellout. But I mean, they're flying at the moment. They're the third best team in England at the moment. So it'll be a massive challenge for us, but one that, like you say, if you're going to test yourself against the best, and you know, if you're not good enough, then so be it. But it's nice to prove on the day maybe you are good enough in a one-off game.
So how did you find Neil Warnock as a manager?
I've got good memories of him. And it was actually Neil Warnock that converted me from a midfielder to a centre-back, so I've got a lot to thank him for.
How did that come about? Was that more by luck or judgement, or a mixture of both, I suppose?
I think it was a bit of luck, to be honest with you. We was playing a reserve game away at Torquay, and my mate at the time, Simon Dawe, was playing centre-back, and he got sent off, and they just shouted down for what... They said, what's he going to play? Going to play centre-back for 10 minutes just before... till we get to half time, to sort ourselves out. And I went there, and at half time they said, you may as well carry on, see what happens. And the game went really well, and the next morning in training the gaffer just said, that's it, I want you to play centre back from now on. So, well, I wasn't going to turn around and say no, I don't want to. So but I enjoyed it straight away, because all the plays in front of you, and you can see what's going on, and you know, just thought it'd be another string to my bow type of thing. But so, yeah, I mean, like I said, I've said it before, but, I mean, if Simon Dawe hadn't got sent off, who knows what would have happened, you know? It seems I've been lucky the way a lot of things in my career have panned out.
And after Neil Warnock, it was Mick Jones. How did you find him?
I got so much time and respect for him as a manager and as a person. One of the most genuine, honest people you'll ever meet. Such a caring man. His training was great. And his man management was great. He's brilliant for me, absolutely fantastic. But I felt a lot of players let him down. There's no way we should have got relegated in Mick's first season in charge. We had some real good players, and I don't think he were fully committed to the cause. It was the first season of the Bosman ruling, and a lot of players had already been fixed up with clubs, and didn't care if Argo went down or stayed up.
After the tears of Turf Moor, 7 years ago, Paul Watton is stepping up to give Argyle a lead in the closing minutes of a game they have dominated. It's Watton, against Brian Jensen. Watton steps up now, right-footed.
You've just played Burnley, haven't you? And you got the penalty, which everybody commented on. But, I mean, you haven't got that many happy memories of that time up at Turf Moor.
No, I haven't. Like I say, we got relegated and I was hurt. I was a young lad and that had a big effect on me. But I felt let down by older players as well. Not all of them, but I felt let down by certain players. And I couldn't believe we was in that situation. And the emotion just came flooding out. And I've got no... I'm not embarrassed by the photos at all of me crying. So many people have said that they were crying with me that day as well. I was a supporter first and foremost, and my club had just been relegated into play, and it was even worse. So I promised myself, and I made a promise in the paper that I wanted to be in the next team that got us back out of the division, and thankfully I was. So it was a dark day, but a day that I'm glad in a way happened, because it made me a stronger person and a better player and made me appreciate what I've achieved all the more.
So Mick Jones went at the end of that season.
That season, yeah. And Kevin Hodges took over.
Now, Kevin Hodges was an absolute legend within the club, of course, but you weren't that impressed by his management style. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, that's what I've put in the book. I had such high expectations, because he brought Steve McCall as assistant manager as well, who I obviously had great memories from. But I think it wasn't Hodgie's fault, to be honest with you. It's just the whole club at the time was on a massive, massive low. I mean, we're getting like 2,500, 3,000 fans for a club the size of Plymouth, going to places like Lincoln and Rochdale, and it wasn't good enough for the fans or the city, and signed some mediocre players, and like I say, players whose hearts weren't fully in it, and at times had to play kids who played one or two games who really weren't good enough to play in the Football League, and at times it's all he had. Certainly wasn't through lack of effort on his part or lack of enthusiasm. One of the most enthusiastic men I've ever met, but me and him didn't really gel. I mean, the Northampton thing happened under Hodgie, and I mean, we had some run-ins, and you know, it was just a bad time for the club, not just me personally. And I mean, we didn't really get on a day-to-day basis in terms of player. Our player-manager relationship wasn't great, but I still see him about now and still speak, and I've got no hard feelings towards him at all. It's just one of them things that didn't work out, simple as that.
Because you were struggling to actually get into his sights at one point, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, I struggled massively. As a player, I was dying, really. I was going backwards and backwards. I've put in my book as well that I probably wasn't helping myself. I wasn't probably living the lifestyle that I should have done. But I wasn't living the lifestyle, but I was still putting in everything I had into games and training and so on. But I did struggle. It was a real bad period for me. And I'm glad I came through it, because I would have ended up, I think, being released or, you know, playing non-league now, so...
And you did very nearly end up going to Northampton. That was originally a question of wages as much as anything. Why didn't that work out, do you think?
Well, first and foremost, Northampton couldn't agree a transfer fee with Plymouth. And in those days, if you were under 24, you had to go to a tribunal. I think you still do now, actually. You had to go to a tribunal. And Northampton, obviously with a tribunal, they might say you've got to pay X amount of money, and Northampton didn't have that money, so... That's the only reason I didn't go. And in the end, their manager ended up getting the sack. So, I mean, I had to come back. And I don't think people realise how hard it was for me to come back. My name was dirt as far as the fans were concerned. They thought I'd been a contract rebel. No one knew the full story. No one will unless they read the book, because it's the only place I've ever really laid everything out in black and white. And I think it took me until I lifted the first championship trophy for some fans to accept me again. But I have a good affinity with the fans, because I'm one of them. They know I'm an Argyle fan. They know I'm a Plymouth boy, born and bred. There's not many Plymouth fans who aren't Plymouth born and bred. And Plymouth's a proud city, and it's a working man city, and you know, it's an honest city. It's got honest people who live in it, and I hope I'm an honest player, and I hope that's why they they have that affinity with me. I mean, there is still one clown who sits in the Lindhurst, but to be honest with you, I'd miss him if he didn't say it now anyway. So, yeah.